You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through this 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes, Andrew in the dark on the other side of the glass today.
Yep.
You're doing like your Elvira, Mistress of the Dark impression today.
I mean, black sweatshirt, like I'm blending in with the background. I don't know if you can see me through the glass.
I barely.
Only from the light from the computers.
It's like an aberration over there. You're like, if your head starts floating, I'm leaving.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't blame you too. I'd run out the door too.
And Mark Dukes from the back porch in the southwest side. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Scott, Andrew, everyone out there. And Andrew, is this an Aaron Rodgers kind of treatment or what, being in the dark?
I mean, I get the joke, but, like, no, because I don't agree with some of that stuff. But, yeah.
Oh, he's coming back, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Closer and closer for those Jets. They're going to throw him out there in the last 2 to 3 weeks of the year and – they're going to be, what, 4-10 at that point?
Right.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, 319-366-1600. One more talk with Cal Eldred today. We'll wrap up the baseball season, look back in the World Series, talk about the offseason, what is upcoming. Craig Counsell leaving for the Chicago Cubs from the Milwaukee Brewers. Picks to win, awards. We'll do all that with Cal coming up in just a little bit. The Iowa men's basketball team, along with the UNI men's basketball team, they tip off their seasons coming up tonight. UNI with a tough one. They will take on the defending NIT champion, Mean Green of North Texas, or Eagles, whatever you prefer, down in Denton. That'll be coming up later on this evening. Iowa at home to take on North Dakota. And the Fighting Hawks from the Summit League picked fourth in the Summit League preseason poll. And hopefully it's a much nicer situation tonight than it was, 4 years ago when the two teams did not shake hands at the end of the game. A lot of people don't remember that. Fran was not happy, but obviously that is past because North Dakota's back on the schedule. 319-366-1600 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. Lots of basketball to get to. Kirk Ferentz meeting with the media today in Iowa City. Hawkeyes getting ready for the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers, 6-3, to invade Iowa City coming up on Saturday afternoon at a 2:35 kickoff for that one. We'll start with that, Mark, because we were back to typical Kirk today. There was no hand wringing. There was no elephant in the room, if you will. Just back to, dare I say, it's football with Kirk today.
Yeah, by and large, that's what we got for about a half an hour from Kirk Ferentz. Quite different than what it was last week. Few weeks are and will be like last week, but he was asked about injuries to the offensive line. We saw a Mason Richmond and Logan Jones go down, and
Bo Stevens as well.
Bo Stevens kind of described as doubtful, but he said Kirk Ferentz said there's a bunch of guys up in the air this week. We'll know 2 hours ahead of kickoff time who's available and who's not. He was asked about Noah Shannon. He said his hopes are not very high considering the NCAA's track record. He believes Shannon should be playing and no news on that at this point. And there was actually a Cal Eldred reference. A moment of levity.
Yeah, we'll have to talk to the man himself about that, right?
Yeah, Kirk described a visit, Cal Eldred inviting Kirk Ferentz to spring training in Jupiter, Florida about 15 years ago. And his experience, not only with Cal, but being around Jim Leland and Tony La Russa, among others. So, yeah, we'll ask Cal about that.
We will. We will get to Cal's thoughts about that. The star of the Kirk Ferentz news conference today will be joining us here coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Also about the running back situation. Question asked about Keegan Johnson and his lack of playing time last Saturday at Wrigley Field against Northwestern. And a lot of people speculating that he was dinged up a little bit. Apparently that was not the case. Did not play. Coach's decision, whatever that would be. He says it's an open competition. And, LeSean and Jazz were just a little bit better and got the reps that particular week. Doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be coming up on Saturday, because if you remember, that was kind of the breakout game for him in his freshman season a year ago.
Yeah, Caleb Johnson has...
Did I say Keegan? I meant Caleb. I'm sorry.
That's okay. He was a starter at the beginning of the season, and we know he's had some bumps and bruises. But LeSean Williams has come up very nicely. He had 70-some yards against Northwestern and has done quite well at the running back position when there are holes. And Jazzy and Patterson adds a little quicker development to the running game. But yeah, it sounded like it's just a matter of competition. And if that's the case, I mean, Caleb Johnson gets back and performs, that'll just be a benefit. But right now, you know, LeSean Williams is the guy, and he's done well.
Had a lot of good things to say about Greg Schiano and Rutgers as well. I mean, just by comparing this news conference to other news conferences when talking about the opponent, to me anyway, it seems that Kirk Ferentz has a lot of respect for what Greg Schiano has done now and in the past in Piscataway.
Yeah, it's a dangerous opponent, and he acknowledged that more than once. As Rutgers has three losses against six wins. The losses coming to Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. So Rutgers has put together a very nice season, very good running game, pretty solid defense. And once again, it's going to be Iowa's task to at least try to move the ball a little bit. And defense and special teams, which has been the song and dance all year.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in. Iowa and Rutgers. Iowa State with a late nighter. If you missed John Walter's talk yesterday with Spencer on Sports at 4:30 each Monday, you can go back and listen to that. Listen to all our local programs here on the podcast at KGYMradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. And by the way, speaking of Spencer, he's busy cutting up audio from Kirk Ferentz for Coach's Cuts, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at NCSEI.com. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. He will have Coach's Cuts coming up in just a little bit. Off the field news today, dealing with a player that's 2 years removed from stepping on foot as far as a college campus is concerned, was the big story of the day surrounding the Iowa football team. If you recall, Nick Brooks, the four-star offensive lineman, formerly in the state of Georgia, back in Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, made a commitment at the start, or just about at the start of the football season, during a get-together in the Kennedy cafeteria, committing to Iowa. Well, that lasted about 2 months, because today he reopened his recruiting, and now more than likely that does not mean he's going to be an Iowa Hawkeye. That possibility is still out there, obviously, and Of course, the old internet world went wild with that one today, Mark, speculating on every reason in the world under the sun why this young man is not going to be attending the University of Iowa. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Certainly not the first player to toss his hat in the ring for the Hawkeyes or anyone else for that matter, especially in 2023, in this day and age, with NIL, with everything going on. Won't be the last one, I'm sure.
No, it's I don't know how surprising it is. As you mentioned, 2 months ago, he was all in on the Iowa Hawkeyes. One of the reasons he moved back to be around his classmates and had glowing things to say about the Iowa staff being able to develop offensive linemen for the NFL, wanted to be the next Tristan Wirfs. But he also had many, many high-profile suitors, including Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, et cetera, et cetera. So Brooks said he discussed it with his family and decided to decommit. And as you smartly referenced, it doesn't mean he won't be recommitting to Iowa. I don't know what the track record is for decommits who recommit to a program. It's probably not very high. But I saw Brooks once, and you saw him many more times than that. I saw Caden Proctor play at Southeast Polk when he was a sophomore. More than not, demolishing my grandson, but
he can. He can always say that he went up against Caden Proctor, though.
Yeah, he sure did, and held his own a few times. And at any rate, Proctor wasn't the player as a sophomore that he was as a senior. Man, he's starting for Alabama at left tackle as a true freshman.
First one to do that, by the way.
Yeah, and whether Nick Brooks is that kind of player, I don't know.
I agree with you, Matt. No one can badmouth Brooks for his decision. He's got to make the right choice for him, according to Matt. Dollars, coaching, etc., doesn't matter. Hope the best for him. Well, I will take umbrage with your dollars does not matter. Listen, we're in 2023, and dollars do matter in college athletics. And we are, unless something happens with the NCAA or someone else, some other organization that is yet to be organized, put together, this thing is spiraling out of control. It is basically an arms race now. And Mark, you and I both remember going back to the 70s, into the 80s even, the early 80s, when great programs, and I will throw Nebraska in there, had 120, 130 terrific football players that they just stockpiled because they could do that. And not saying you're going to have those numbers now, but with the NIL, it's an arms race, man. And the chasm between, said it before, I'll say it again, the canyon and chasm between the haves and the have-nots is going to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow.
Certainly has a lot to do with it. I don't know how much the announcement about Brian Ferentz not returning next year had to do with this, or Kirk Ferentz's statement the next day, last Wednesday on his radio show, saying he planned to be the Iowa head coach until they drag him out kicking and screaming, pretty much. So you never know what goes on inside a kid's head. He seems so sure of himself 2 months ago. And he's been at every Iowa home game. He did visit Texas Tech, I think, last weekend, and came home, and now has decided to decommit.
319-366-1600. Here on the Gym Class on KGYM at 319. As talk a little bit about Iowa football here. If you'd like to comment, love to hear from you on the text line. Do want to get to a little bit of basketball, Mark, before we get to an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update in just a little bit, brought to you by Emels on First Avenue Southwest, Southeast, I should say, in Cedar Rapids. Basketball getting underway last night in earnest for most teams. And there were a couple of men's games that were noteworthy as far as matchups are concerned. The best one of the evening and the day took part in Las Vegas late last night. USC and Kansas State, they never met. They were in the same region last year in the NCAA tournament. Did not get together because USC went out early. Kansas State, of course, had that great run. Wildcats lost a couple of their terrific guards, including their point guard. Did bring in the number one player in Conference USA out of North Texas, the NIT champion, as playing UNI tonight. USC looked really, really good last night. One of the nation's best freshmen, Isaiah Collier, was terrific. And Andy Enfield's got a really, really good team, a team that can win a national championship, I think, at USC. Kansas State, they held in there a little bit, did lose by double digits in that game. The earlier men's game in that particular one-day get-together was Oregon beating Georgia. And then the middle game, that caught a lot of national attention, Mark. 27-05 saying, hey, do you think Kim Mulkey and LSU did the now you see me after losing last night? I wouldn't imagine they pulled that card out with Angel Reese and everybody, as LSU was really never in that game last night. Colorado defeats the reigning women's national champion LSU Tigers last night in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm quite sure a lot of Iowa women's basketball fans delighted in that result.
I think everyone delighted in that result outside of the Bayou.
Without question. And I asked you earlier today, which practice would you not want to attend today? Kim Mulkey's or Tom Izzo's? I mean, you talked about Southern Cal and K-State, great to see two Power 5 teams match up. But I was hooked on that James Madison-Michigan State game. You're not going to see Michigan State make one out of 23s anytime soon, I don't think. But James Madison is favored to win the Sun Belt. Got a nice played hard. Got some nice players. And don't discount Michigan State, but that was, I don't know, that was a tough goal of it for Izzo.
It was. Michigan State didn't shoot the ball real well last year and was 1-for-20, as you mentioned, last night. The other thing was they didn't make any free throws last night as well. Ultimately, you can win. You can win shooting 1-for-20 from three if you go to the free throw line 30, I think they went 37, 38 times in that game last night, but only made like 22. That's what cost Michigan State last night. They're going to be fine. They're just not that go out and pound you on the glass type of team, though, that they were 4 or 5 years ago with Tom Izzo. That is what they're missing. And they will get a win before they get to the Champions Classic. They get Duke coming up on Tuesday night. And yeah, I don't know. Would you rather been at Izzo's practice today or Kim Mulkey's practice today? That's a great question, Mark. 319-366-1600. I think Izzo would take it better than Kim Mulkey after last night.
I think Izzo probably has a lot of perspective on that game. Knows James Madison is a pretty good mid-major team and got to accept defeat. It's not the first time Michigan State's lost early. They play a tough schedule. Izzo's not afraid to schedule tough teams. And this was another example. On the text line, 1345, Hawk fans really should bury the grudge against Reese and LSU. Do you agree out there?
I think it's just America. I don't think it's Hawk fans for the most part. They're a little upset still that they didn't win the national championship, but the best team won last year. Kim Mulkey brings a lot of this on herself. If you saw the outfit she wore last night in Las Vegas, oh boy. I don't even know where she could have got that from, but holy cow. That was interesting. That was very, very interesting. 319-366-1600. Yes, Colorado, I believe, did beat Iowa in the NCAA tournament a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And 86-99 with a good statement right here. The fact that people were watching LSU-Colorado last night bodes well for women's basketball. It was all over social media. Absolutely. It continues to grow and grow and grow. And one more thing before we get to Iowa State here. I wanted to talk about Cyclones last night as well and their win against Green Bay. But good for Izzo to schedule James Madison. He is the exception to the rule. I mean, we know with you and I and Drake in our state, with Kevin Lehman, who covers the Missouri Valley, letting us know, and we'll have Kevin on Thursday, by the way, starting off his weekly segments talking college hoops. But it's so tough for these mid-majors to get home and home, or at least a one-off with somebody like Michigan State. Tom Izzo, to his credit, will bring in a James Madison, like you said, knowing James Madison is the best team in the Sun Belt and probably is going to be an NCAA tournament, maybe even a second weekend NCAA tournament team, and not afraid to play them. He's not afraid to play anybody, and I wish more coaches were like that. That's the way it should be. That's the way it used to be.
Well, Izzo does it consistently, and look how it's paid off by and large. He's not the only one that, you know, North Carolina scheduled, what, you and I, when Marcus Page was in his senior year. I think he was hurt that game, wasn't he?
Correct, yes. Play,
something like that. But that was a nice gesture, and every now and then you'll see that. But Izzo's a different cat. He plays the long game. And I think in the long run, Sparty will be okay.
Michigan State's going to be fine. They're going to be fine. 319-366-1600. Iowa and North Dakota coming up tonight at 7 o'clock at Carver Hawkeye. That's a BTN Plus game, by the way. North Dakota picked to finish fourth in the Summit League. They've got a former Cyclone that was on the team a year ago, now playing for the Fighting Hawks. Speaking of Iowa State, as expected, the Cyclones blew out Green Bay last night, 85-44. Keep in mind, Green Bay, one of the 10, 15 worst teams in NCAA men's basketball a year ago, only won three games. The thing that got me for Iowa State, Mark, was the way they shot the ball. If Iowa State continues to play defense like they've always done under T.J. Otzelberger, you got to think it's going to be the case again this year. It was always shooting. Who was going to make shots for Iowa State? They brought in a couple of sharpshooters. Milan Momchilovic was terrific last night. The kid from Pewaukee, Wisconsin, Spencer probably knows that guy. And he had only missed one three-pointer last night, went for 18. He was 6-7. But Taman Lipsey, who's not known as a great shooter, been working on it all offseason, took a couple of threes, made them both. If Taman Lipsey can hit threes, this Iowa State team is going to be pretty darn tough.
Well, I told you earlier, again, I'm going to reserve judgment on both Iowa State and Iowa until I see maybe a handful of games, half a dozen. All this is just, you know, Lipsy isn't the only one that needs to shoot threes. The guys you mentioned were successful last night, but will they be against tougher competition? You know, I want to see for my own eyes not only Iowa State, but Iowa before I pass much judgment. If you think, you know, it's going to be a rebuilding year at Iowa, you're probably going to be wrong. I don't know. If you think Iowa State's going to be really, really good, you'll probably fall a little short of that. I don't know. Let's see how this plays out.
Let's see how it plays out. And I would agree. I would agree. I think it's an Iowa team going into the season that's not going to win the Big Ten, certainly. It's going to be a team that's probably, the ceiling is about fourth, maybe. The basement is probably 10th or 11th. I think somewhere in the middle there, 6th, 7th, 8th is where Iowa's going to finish up. Probably going to get to the NCAA tournament and see if they can win get into the Sweet 16 for the first time in a while. We'll see how UNI does with a tough opener at North Texas tonight. I think this Iowa State team has a lot of potential, and we know what DeVries can do at Drake. So I think it's going to be a fun season of hoops. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back after we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update with Mark. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're open at 4 Monday through Saturday. Fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room, plus catering, online ordering, and curbside pickup and delivery. They've got everything there. Huge range of burgers and fries. Try the Cuban sandwich. It's amazing. And salads, pizza, pasta, and soup. Everything at Emil's Hideaway. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. What do we have, Mark?
Iowa women's basketball opened with a expected very easy victory over Fairleigh Dickinson, 102-46. Caitlin Clark, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Things will get much tougher later in the week against Virginia Tech. The Washington Commanders have signed Julian Good-Jones, the former Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Iowa State star. He was signed off the Eagles practice squad. Good-Jones has some CFL experience, but has not played in an NFL game. The first NCAA Division I wrestling rankings are out. Not much change after the first weekend. Iowa is number 2 behind Penn State. Iowa State 10th, UNI 17th. And speaking of James Madison, its football team wants to get in to bowl eligibility. It has sent a letter pleading to the NCAA to relax the restrictions it has on teams transitioning from FCS to FBS. Right now, a 2-year so-called waiting period. The Dukes are 9-0.
And really good, by the way.
They're good, but they haven't beaten anybody.
You're right.
They won 5 games by 1 score. So, are they in the same category with, the top 8, 10, 15 teams? Maybe, maybe not. But it probably deserved to be in a bowl game.
Would you rather see a 12-0, 11-1 James Madison football team, or a 5-7 Power 5 team that gets in because there are too many bowls and not enough 6-win teams?
Give me the Dukes every time.
You're right. Absolutely. 3:32, quick break, come back, and we will talk baseball one more time with Cal Eldred for the year when we return on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have clouds continuing to build in. Temperatures will be in the mid to upper 50s. And then tonight, the clouds will remain and a few spotty showers will be possible. Rain will persist into early tomorrow morning. And then the clouds will stick around for the rest of the day. Tomorrow night, the clouds will clear and temperatures will cool down into the mid 30s. Thursday and Friday, we'll have more sunshine and temperatures in the low 50s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local this holiday season for gifts or food, a deserving charity, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Video Games Etc. in Marion, Cedar Rapids, and Coralville. I'm on internet serving Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, and Dubuque, Orchestra, Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels have superior moisture resistance for interior and exterior applications and are the first line of defense against heat loss through basement walls. Look for the pink panels and save. Right now, get 11% off on all insulation products at Menards. Good through November 12th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Back with you on the Gym Class 334 on a Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. Thanks for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, big show for you. John Bonenkamp is going to join us to talk about Iowa athletics. And then Chris Liss will answer your fantasy football questions coming up tomorrow here on the Gym Class beginning at 3 on KGYM. 319-366-1600 if you have a question for our next guest before the baseball season officially wraps up. And this is how we always wrap it up, talking with our friend Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer and former pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals. And congratulations, Cal, to the Texas Rangers. It's been a week since the World Series wrapped up, but they're still celebrating in Arlington and around the Lone Star State, I believe.
Yeah, I have a couple daughters that are still going to school down there, and so they have somewhat become Rangers fans. Our oldest daughter's been there for about 5 years, so she watches them pretty close, and they have been celebrating and enjoying every minute of it, as they should.
Cal, I don't know if you know, you were the star of the Kirk Ferentz news conference today.
Uh-oh.
I think he was talking about the minutia of statistics and whatnot, and he referenced an invitation that you made to him. He said about 15 years ago to go down to Florida and take in spring training, at least for a little while. True, and what do you remember about that?
Well, you know, it's actually fitting that we bring that up, because one of the many gentlemen that Tony La Russa always had quite the entourage around him. A lot of friends, a lot of coaches in multiple sports. And when I mentioned it to, actually, it was that all started with a conversation my wife and I had with Kirk's wife Mary, who we know runs the ship there. And she said Kirk's loves baseball, and I said we need to get him to spring training. And so, sure enough, he had enough downtime that he came down there. But I remember Kirk being able to sit right on the chairs outside the dugout during a couple of the ball games next to Tony and Dave Duncan and Dave McKay, and listening to everything that went on, not only during the games, but during practice. And I it was really cool to listen to Coach Ferentz's, to Kirk's thoughts about how we did practice and how much we did practice. And then there were a couple dinners that were really cool that John Havlicek was a part of, Coach Knight was a part of, Bill Parcells was a part of. So, fellas, in that kind of company, I just sat and listened, and it was really, really cool to be a part of that. And, of course, a good friend of Coach Ferentz's, Bill Parcells, was there part of the time too, or Bill Belichick was there part of the time too. So it was a lot of fun, something I'll never forget.
Yeah, he also referenced Jimmy Leland, who was a part of it as well, and said he spent 20 minutes with Jim Leland, who had 5 cigarettes in the 20 minutes, he thinks, and just and sponging off of him and what he had to say as well.
Well, and that's the thing. I think, you know, I just sent a text message to and contacted Tony La Russa after Coach Knight's passing, and I knew they had a special relationship, and that group of men have had jobs, lost jobs, won championships, worked with a lot of people in different areas of sports, and boy, it was just so much fun to spend some time with it, yet alone to get to see Kirk come down, see what I think is one of the classiest organizations in baseball, and see him relax and enjoy some time away from his hectic job and life. I think that was what was pretty special to me.
Well, there was three managerial moves yesterday. Four more to go, Cal. The big one, Craig Counsell to the Cubs. What was your reaction?
You know, guys, I got to be honest with you. I was shocked. It took me back to see, because of the love for David Ross in Chicago, not only the fans and, you know, the players, but even the front office and ownership. So it took me aback. Now, with all that said, because David Ross, I actually thought, did a great job with the injuries they had. I think they overachieved to a certain extent. They got a lot out of Stroman and Bellinger. So that was – and then to turn around and switch to Craig Counsell without – I had no idea David Ross, that his job was even in jeopardy. But giving Counsell, you know, $40 million over 5 years, Craig's an excellent coach, excellent manager, I should say. And you know what? It was shocking to me.
Another Greg in Epworth, who's a big-time Brewer fan, would like to know what you think, who you think would be a good fit to manage the young Brewers next year.
Ooh, yeah, that becomes a really tough question, because Craig Counsell has meant a lot to Wisconsin and the Milwaukee Brewers organization. You're starting to think, you know, who fits that bill. And they've got a lot of decisions to make too, because you've got Corbin Burns, who's going to be a free agent. Arms that they are going to miss, they need to get back. Man, I am, that's something I'm going to really have to dive into. But I did make a phone call to my good friend Mike Matheny and to ask him, hey, what do you think? And he's like, hey, I need to take a step back. And so his name's not in that running, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of good candidates out there, but I'm trying to think of, you know, guys who would be former Brewers that would be willing to, that would love to have that job. But I think a lot of the same guys, Andy Green, you're going to have, you know, the Benji Gill, you're going to have guys that were in the running for all these other jobs. I think that their names will pop up in Milwaukee.
Well, and don't know exactly who he's taking with him. There was a lot of talk about their bench coach, and sounds like he may end up going to Chicago as well. We'll see if it ends up that way. And how about David, 0905 points out, how about a trade? David Ross going up to Milwaukee. Could that happen?
Well, I know I know that they brought that up. You go to MLB.com and they're bringing that up. They go, boy, wouldn't that be a tasty treat to see that happen? And I don't know that I see that. I have a little bit inside information that David Ross could possibly go into the Yankees to be a bench coach for Aaron Boone because of their relationship in the past. So that could be a possibility. But man, I'm telling you, that job in Milwaukee is a really good job to have, but those are big shoes to fill. You know, because Craig did such a nice job there. 6 out of 9 of the seasons he was there were winning seasons, took him to the playoffs 5 times, and the organization had only been there 4 times before Craig took over. So it's going to be some big shoes to fill there.
The other two moves, the Mets and Guardians, kind of went in different directions. The Mets hired Carlos Mendoza, the Yankees bench coach, and the Guardians, with big shoes to fill, so to speak, went with Stephen Vogt, who has no managerial experience. What'd you make of those two moves?
Well, when you hear about Stephen Vogt, I'll start with him first. You hear a lot about how much he was liked as a player, how much, you know, he was obviously being a catcher. And I do agree with a lot of people. A lot of analysts say that, you know, and people in the game believe that being a catcher is the quickest way to become a manager. It's the best position to see the game as a manager. And I don't disagree with that. But, you know, and he was also a guy who wasn't the everyday catcher and was a good enough player. He was an all-star twice with the Oakland A's, but he was a good enough player that he played enough games. And when you're catching and you're the backup guy, you hear a lot of things. You talk to the managers a lot, the coaches. You're a cheerleader a lot of the time. So I think his personality is probably going to fit in Cleveland pretty well because it sounds like it's similar to Terry Francona. I don't think they're asking him to be Terry Francona, but Cleveland usually does just enough to get their club in playoff contention. And then once again, you never know what happens when you get there. So I think it's a good choice. And it, you know what? People are going to think I'm crazy too, Mark, because the guy has only been out of the game as a player for 1 year and was quality control coach and bullpen coach and with the Mariners last year. But Scott Service is not a bad guy to learn under either.
No, not. Cal Elder joining us here at 3:44 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Let's go over your thoughts about the awards here. We know the final three. MVPs, I mean, do we even need to discuss the National League? It's going to be Ronald Acuna. I don't imagine how it cannot be, even though Betts and Freeman had pretty good years. The big debate is it Ohtani in the American League or one of the two Rangers, Marcus Semien or Corey Seager, who actually missed more time than Ohtani did? What do you think? And then we will give our opinions.
Well, I'm thinking of the team. So you're the most valuable player, and what Ohtani does for a team, both offensively and defensively, to me sets him above. And it's going to be hard for any player in any league to take the MVP award away from Ohtani, as long as he's doing both things and doing them extremely well, which he did in both cases. And I think your biggest point, Scott, you made, was that Seager missed just as much time after, actually more than Ohtani. Still put up great numbers. But for me, I'm going with Ohtani there, even though you got to look at Semien. He had a great year, too.
What do you think, Mark?
You know, I'd have to go with Ohtani, too. He played, and he had 44 home runs in, what, 140 games, something like that. We know what he did on the mound. It's hard to discount that. And if Seager had played 150 games and padded those statistics even more, you know, maybe he would have given Ohtani a run. I mean, the voting hasn't been. Semien's a good choice, too. But I would go with Ohtani.
I think you have to. Part of me wants to go with Semien, though. I mean, 100 AL best, 122 runs, 185 hits, 29 home runs, 100 RBIs, leadoff man, played every game of the season.
Yeah, and he plays second base, too, Scott.
Yeah. As a former second baseman, I tip my hat to him right there. Okay, if there was an overall MVP, though, overall, does Acuna – I mean, Acuna beats out Ohtani this year, right?
Man, I would probably have to agree with that because you just haven't seen numbers like Acuna put together. You just haven't.
Okay. Cy Young in the National League, Zach Gallen of Arizona, Blake Snell or Logan Webb?
Boy, I'm going to tell you, as a coach right here, I always tell kids, just throw strikes. If you just throw strikes, you're going to win. Well, Blake Snell walked more people than anybody else. And it's hard, but you know what? The guy was unhittable. He was flat out unhittable. He had 12 outings where he didn't even give up a run. So I'm going to go with Blake Snell, even though Zach Gallen and Logan Webb had incredible years.
Okay.
Garrett Cole's time in the American League?
And I think Garrett Cole in the American League.
I would agree. Sorry about, Sonny Gray got top three, though, Mark.
In his last year with the Twins.
Ooh, yeah,
that might hurt. Mark, too, what Sonny Gray did, limiting home runs, playing in Minnesota, he did an incredible job. So I had him a second behind Cole.
Okay. No doubt it's going to be Corbin Carroll for Rookie of the Year in the National League, right?
Well, I'm going to tell you, if you look at what Senga did in New York, and that's pretty – I could see where he's going to get more votes than most people think, but I do believe it's Corbin Carroll for me.
Okay. How about in the American League? it's tougher. I can see all three of these guys winning it. I love Gunnar Henderson, though. I mean, he would get my vote.
I would go with Henderson also because he's on a team that won as many games as they did. They're playing in the American League East, and you know, and I could make a case for every one of these guys, especially Tanner Bibby. Excellent year, but Gunnar Henderson was on a team, and he was a big cog in that.
National League Manager of the Year, Skip Schumacher, your guy in Miami, Brian Snitker with the Braves, or the former Brewer manager, Craig Counsell.
I'm going with my buddy Skip Schumacher.
So would I.
For a few reasons. I want to, Scott, I'll let you say your reasons first.
Because the Marlins were, no one expected the Marlins to do anything. 15 win increase from 2022 to 2023 and got into the playoffs.
I completely agree. You look at what he did, and even he had some key injuries when he loses Alcantara. He lost Soler for a while. And some of these other managers had the same deal that they had to deal, are dealing with same issues. But I thought Skip, because of the people that he then had to fill in with, did an excellent job.
How about the American League? Kevin Cash, Brandon Hyde, or Bruce Bochy? Of course, it does.
No Dusty Baker.
No Dusty Baker in here, but does Bochy get it for the regular season as well?
Man, I give it to Brandon Hyde because I think it's harder. We heard a lot about during the playoffs about how Bochy led that team, but Bochy would keep telling you that the resolve of the veteran players and the way they hung together is really what pushed them through. And I look at what Brandon Hyde did with so many young players, with just a mixture of a few older players, but so many young players. I think that's special. To win that many games during a regular season is really, really hard.
There you go. That's what Cal has to say. Book it, as they say. Where does Shohei Ohtani play for next year? Which team?
The Dodgers.
Dodgers.
You guys feel different.
I don't know, but just think about that for a moment. Is he still a two-way player?
Well, next year he won't be because of the Tommy John surgery.
Correct.
Which I also know that there's going to be a certain period of time where he's not going to be able to swing the bat. They're going to come in claiming that he's 100% ready to go for the season, but you have to be careful in what you do with that. I mean, he doesn't necessarily have a violent swing, but he really reaches with his swing. Covers a lot of territory, and so I think you have to be careful with that. But I think the first year he's not. The second year, I know we discussed this, and Mark, I think you were and Scott were in agreement on this, that if he had to pick one, let's just hit. Yep. But for I think he's probably going to try it again in 2025.
Wow.
Kyle, on the text line, real briefly, I guess, loves your segment and appreciates the insight, but he would like to know if you have a name or two that you might think will surprise some people with where they land, either via trade or free agency. And Kyle is a Royals fan. He wants for Salvi to retire as a Royal. But do you think it is likely the Royals look to move him?
I think, unfortunately, even though he's a Royals fan, there is a decent chance that Salvi gets moved. I think it would have to be a pretty good package. The Royals do owe him a good amount of money over the next 2 years, but you know they're looking to make a move. I don't know that they're gonna. They should not probably have expectations to be winning a whole lot more this next year, which I think they will. But I think they need some more work, but. He's a possibility of a guy that could be moved, and I know that makes Royals fans not real happy.
Yeah.
But I think there's some names that could go some different places, but the free agent starting pitching is pretty hefty, and I think you're going to see teams going after that starting pitching pretty heavy. So I'm really interested in seeing where some of these international pitchers are going to end up.
Yeah, and a big one coming over as well. Cal, we're out of time. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us every other week and then throughout the playoffs. Always great talking with you, and we'll probably get a hold of you about winter meetings time and talk a little hot stove at that point. But keep us in the loop if things change. But we look forward to 2024 in Major League Baseball.
So do I, and I really appreciate all those people that listen. Mark and Scott, there's so many people that mentioned to me they love your show and they like this segment. So I thank all those people for listening. Enjoy the baseball. It just doesn't stop. There's never an offseason.
Nope, never an offseason. Thanks, Cal. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Cal.
You bet.
All right, we'll take a break and come back and wrap things up after this.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 8th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Don't miss out. Catch WagerWise every Wednesday morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Presented by your go-to sportsbook, Betfred.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a click away. We offer convenient options for you to get your parts, tools, accessories, and supplies quickly. Order online and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, or you can have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At the Home Depot, Saturdays are about two things. Easy cleanup with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus Whisper Series leaf blower.
And football.
That's right, Reese Davis. With variable speed, it has the power for when you really need it and just the right amount when you don't. And the OnePlus battery platform means you go from yard work to DIY in just a click, so you can get projects done faster.
Which means more time for football.
For football. Upgrade your Saturday with Ryobi and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Back to wrap things up here as we get ready for Spencer on Sports from 4 until 6 o'clock this evening. And then Cyclone Coaches Show coming your way tonight from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. John Bonenkamp will join us coming up tomorrow to talk the Iowa-North Dakota game, the women's game. He was there last night. Look ahead to Iowa-Rutgers. We'll do that with him. And then Chris Liss will join us coming up tomorrow as well on the program. And again, a big thanks, Mark, I know from you and I to Cal, for joining us this year, one of our more popular guests, and always good talking baseball with Cal. You always feel better after you talk to Cal.
Yeah, I would echo that. He's just a terrific guest, and we appreciate every minute we have with him.
Yep, and Iowa-North Dakota coming up tonight from Carver at 7:05. It's BTN Plus game. UNI and North Texas coming up tonight. Shouldn't forget as well the UNI women with a good win last night over Green Bay at home at McLeod Center. All right, Mark, have a great night, and we will talk tomorrow at 3.
Will do. Talk then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Sarah wants a yard.
My own little paradise.
Brad, however, hates yard work.